Strange as it may seem, 25,000 American citizens have already applied for reservations on the first passenger rocket to the moon. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about man's search for celestial security. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, Facts Which Affect You. You know, friends, in the Soviet Union, the most popular book in the English language, I understand, is a Sears Roebuck catalog, of all things. The women of Russia spend much time looking through the many items that are available in our own American free market. And often they're quoted asking this question, is it possible there's a country where so much is available as this book indicates? Yes, around the world today, we find millions of people who are without the common necessities that we have in America, and they're crying out for a better land in which to live. They think it would be heaven itself if they could live in a country of such abundance as America. While living in the Orient, I met scores of such people. The Hayden Planetarium in New York rather jokingly sent out word that they were taking reservations for the first manned rocket to the moon. To their surprise, 25,000 people rode in, all of them desiring to be among the first passengers to leave the Earth for the moon. One woman wrote, "It would be heaven to get away from this busy Earth. I honestly wish God would let me get away and just go somewhere where it's nice and peaceful and good and safe and secure." Well, I guess that's a heart cry of the human heart all around the circle of the globe today, friends. Oh, for a better place in which to dwell. Is there such a place? A place of absolute contentment? A place where human suffering and woe is not known? A place where all the problems and perplexities of this life do not exist? You know, back there a few years ago, Nikita Khrushchev said that when he sent Russia's astronaut out into space, he asked him to be sure and look around to see if there was such a place as what Christians call heaven. And on his return, the astronaut reported to Khrushchev that there was no such place. So Khrushchev had made a public statement to the world that there's no heaven because Major Gagarin did not see it. The book of Genesis presents a picture of a newly created world, perfect in every aspect, inhabited by a sinless, holy, happy pair. God had a purpose in creating this world. In Isaiah 45:18, we read, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited." Yes, the Lord created man and placed him in a perfect world so that this world might be eternally inhabited by sinless, happy creatures made by God. But of course, things have changed. Today, we find no such perfection or absolute happiness. For the first dominion was lost because of sin. God never intended or planned that man should live in the kind of a world we have today, friends. However, the restoration of all things as they were in the beginning of time will soon become a reality. Christ has paid the price for our redemption and for the restoration of the world to its original Edenic beauty. In John 14:1-3, we read, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, as with all the promises of Jesus, we can depend on this one, surely. Jesus is coming again, and he will take his people, those who believe in him, home to heaven. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, we read of the fulfillment of this promise. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So we find that the place to which Christ will take the redeemed is a place Paul calls heaven. There are many who wonder why Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That's in Matthew 5:5. How can we inherit the earth and at the same time be in the dwelling place of God where Jesus went when he left this earth? The answer to the problem is found in Revelation 20:6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, friends, notice what happens at the conclusion of this 1,000-year period when the righteous are in heaven with Christ. In Revelation 21:2, John saw in a vision that the people of God would return to this earth with the holy city at the close of the 1,000 years. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Yes, this earth, as Jesus himself said it, will become the home of the redeemed of all ages. Of course, some changes will necessarily have to be made if this is to be heaven for God's people. The Apostle John says in Revelation 21:1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." And then come on down to 2 Peter 3, and we read verses 10 and 13, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." So, friends, you can see that this earth of ours will be refined by the fires of God, and then recreated by the miracle-working creative power of our Lord, transformed into the very beauty of the Eden at the beginning. Now, what will life be like in heaven or in heaven on earth? What will be some of the changes from our present existence, friends? To many, heaven has been merely a mystical wonderland of non-existence, an invisible, unreal world of spirits. But the Bible tells us that heaven will be very real. Now, few will deny that God is real, but a few will deny that Jesus is real. Few will deny that this Bible I have right now in my hand is real. And so, friends, its precious promises of a real heaven will one day soon become a reality. Today, let's draw aside the curtain and look beyond into that fulfilled promise of heaven for the people of God. In Isaiah 65:18, we read, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Then in verse 21 and 22, we're told that they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Now here we find real people building real houses, planting real gardens, and eating real food. Of course, the natural sinful nature of man will be changed also. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52, we read, "For behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now notice, in one of those changes will be the gift of a new and immortal body. In verse 53 of that same chapter, we read, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And then the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 3:21, "He shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." The multitude of physical ills that plague the human race today will be known no more in heaven. For in Isaiah 33:24, we're told, "And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick." And again, Isaiah 35:5, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing." You know, friends, few in our world today have escaped the plague of physical infirmity. All over the world, I've viewed multitudes on every hand so afflicted by the diseases of our time that it's even difficult to behold them without crying out and saying, "Lord, come quickly. Put an end to this suffering and this woe." I saw lepers in India, where thousands of wretched specimens of humanity vegetate almost in misery and loneliness. I have viewed the crippling effects of undernourishment on the masses of children there, and have seen the running sores covering their poor bodies. But in heaven, The more than 300 diseases known to man today will be known no more. Neither will suffering or sorrow exist in that land of perfection. The Lord reminds us in Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more pain, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Yes, a change will take place in human nature, but in animal nature and in the nature of earth also a change will take place. Notice these texts. First of all, Isaiah 51:3. "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord." Yes, the scar of sin that has covered the face of this earth since the beginning of sin will be taken away, and the glory of a perfect creation will shine forth once again. In Isaiah 11:6, we read about the change in animal nature. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." And friends, in that land of eternal bliss there will be a city called the New Jerusalem, the capital city of the new earth. And in Revelation 21 we find a beautiful description of that city. It'll be 375 miles on each side, 1,500 miles in circumference. 12 great foundations support the walls of the New Jerusalem, which are, by the way, of solid jasper. The gates are pure pearl, and the streets are of transparent gold. The throne of God is in the city, and out of the midst of the throne proceeds the river of life. And overarching the river of life is that great original tree of life. Beautiful, beyond all human words to describe, will be those mansions that Jesus has prepared for those who love Him. Now, invariably, the question is asked, will I know my loved ones in heaven? There's one Bible text that sheds some light on this. It's 1 Corinthians 13:12. Paul said, "Then shall I know even as also I'm known." And Paul says, we will know and love our family and our loved ones as we have here on this earth. And of all the joys of heaven, the greatest of all will be to see Jesus face to face, to worship Him and our Heavenly Father. And there will be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servant shall serve, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Revelation 22:3-4. "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." Isaiah 66:22-23. Fantastic, unreal, impossible, incredible, you say? No, friends, it's true. It's true. These things are faithful and true. Jesus has prepared that beautiful place for us, and He's coming soon to take us home to be with Him there. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.